Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Having fun is fundamental, boys and girls. Welcome to the Football Ramble. It's Monday, the 24th of January. I'm Kate Mason.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Pete Donaldson.
Yes, welcome to a lovely Monday, a lovely, bright, sunny, horrible, disgusting Monday. Did anyone else
start the week as you mean to go on, eh?
Did anyone struggle to get out of bed this morning?
I did.
Jesus
but
Christ.
I put both of my duvets into my bedspread, so I did struggle to get out, but because it was so nice.
Heavy.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Were you like fighting your way out?
No, I was fighting to stay in it, if anything.
I have issues with restless leg syndrome, so I manacle myself to my bed, so I always have difficulty leaving the homestead in the morning.
Is that a real thing, restless leg syndrome?
I don't know. I've heard about it, but whatever I've got kind of feels like restless leg syndrome. You just feel like you just constantly just need to dance.
Yeah. You like when a dog dreams and it's having a little run.
Yeah, having a little run, having a little bark. Why don't dogs bark properly in their dreams? They just sort of go... Very strange.
I suppose that's them talking in their sleep, isn't it?
I guess
do any dogs sleepwalk? Let us know.
Shut up.
If you've got a dog that sleepwalks.
Hard to get a read on them.
yet again, Pete, I'm realising that we need an animal correspondent on the
we
ramble.
Do, yeah, I'm closest to feral, I suppose. I'm closest to the animal world, I would say.
Yeah. We're going to do a relegation scrap special for the first half of today's ramble, I think, because Pete's boys, Pete's the underdogs, the ones we can really get behind, have beaten Leeds United 1-0 on Saturday. Can't see. I don't know. Well, he put it in the right place, didn't he, John J. Shelby? But I'm not sure that will be wanting to watch that one back too often.
I can't stop. I don't know what an offside is. I don't know what getting involved in players anymore. Because that really looked like it was going to be chalked off under VAR, but it very much wasn't, and I'm really bloody glad it wasn't. But it wasn't chalked off. But I just cannot understand why it wasn't. It's very, very weird.
When you say you cannot understand why it wasn't, is it just because it was a good thing for Newcastle when you don't trust it?
Yeah, it's not even anything to do with VAR. It's just the fact that that's not how Newcastle's luck usually goes. But they definitely rode their luck in that game. And, Paul Dummett, he's just come back from injury pretty much. And he had to be subbed off in the end, but not a moment too soon for that poor lad because he was having a terrible time with Rafinha.
Rafinha bullying you in front of thousands of people is the stuff of anxiety nightmares. Isn't it? You don't want that to be your reality.
Great win.
And Dan James let you off the hook as well, right?
Yeah, I think there was a few chances. I think where Leeds probably should.
Oh my God, Leeds were great at least for the first half, weren't they?
They were busy, making
so many chances and doing what they do best, stringing stuff together. And as you say about Rafinha, I thought he had a great. Definitely at least first half.
Newcastle have certainly played better and got less out of that game, to be honest, because I thought Newcastle were pretty turgid at times during that match. But, you get a dead ball situation and John Josh Shelby just confuses everyone with his ways.
Hey, man, you're winning ugly. Right, and that's what
very,
you need to win titles.
Don't be mean to John Joe. Don't be mean to
You've
him.
Been mean to John Joe. I didn't mention him, did I?
Scandal. I enjoyed the phone and share sort of accidental backheel block. That was probably my favourite bit. And also Alan Saint-Maximin falling down in the area and not getting a penalty. You presumably, Pete, think that was a nailed-on.
I very much thought it was a nailed-on penalty. But then all weekend there's been situations where penalties have not been given when it should have been given and then given when it shouldn't have been given, if you know what I mean.
It's been a funny one.
It's been a very strange one this weekend.
It was something about his fall, though. It was so pratfall. It was so kind of
slapstick.
Exactly. Maybe the drama of it was what made the referee feel like, no, that's just gonna be him slipping over. Lots of people slipping over. Maybe that was it over the weekend.
Greasy, sort of frosty ground.
Greasy, exactly right. Okay, so, apparently Alan Shearer, apparently, on Match of the Day, Alan Shearer said that, where do I get my rumours from? Alan Shearer said that Kieran Trippier would be a future captain, or should be a future captain. As Marcus would say, he's already done you a favour by turning up to play for you. So
Massively, he's kind of transformed he's clearly a bit of a cheerleader behind the scenes as well. And I do wonder how that's going to affect Jamal Lascelles, who's going through a real rough patch form-wise that's lasted about 3 years. And he he's obviously the captain. And you do sort of, this player comes in the club who's a lot better than Callum, a lot better than Jamal, and a lot more, expansive in his player just by virtue of the fact that where he plays on the pitch, and he can affect more, and he can talk to players halfway up the pitch and tell them off and stuff. So it's going to be interesting to see how that one pans out. There seems to be some creaking inevitability that he will take the captain's armband probably next season. But that will probably see Jamal Lascelles leave the club, you would imagine, and not a moment too soon for some Newcastle fans, which is very sad. But what I will say is that obviously Newcastle are jetting off to Jeddah pretty soon. And Kieran Trippier
for football reasons.
They just want a game of
warm,
football.
Isn't it?
They just want
warm.
A game
they
of football.
They need to play a Saudi team. Why is that not obvious?
But Callum Wilson's obviously on crutches at the moment, so he can't carry his own suitcase. So Kieran Trippier was spotted carrying a captain's performance, carrying the team and carrying Callum Wilson's suitcases. But no matter how much money you got, you still got to get that little bus that takes you from the terminal at Newcastle to the jet. So it's not that fancy. You can have all the money in the world, but you're still getting on that bloody Newcastle airport bus.
Yeah, just like us, aren't they, footballers?
Yeah.
Do you think Jamal Lascelles will be okay with Kieran Trippier carrying Callum Wilson's suitcase?
I think
he's going to put his nose out of joint.
He probably couldn't do it as well, I would have thought.
Put his hands out of
drop
joint.
Drop it. And, oh, it's opened. I think
Jamal would probably drop him on the floor and everyone would see his pants, to be honest, at this moment in time.
But at the airport, when they were like, did you pack this bag yourself, sir?
No, Kieran Trippier did it for me. I'm on crutches.
No, the answer is no. So it'll be lucky if they make it out there.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is a really, really necessary win, isn't it, Pete? How do you feel that gives you a...
Oh, you're just trying to move it on from the sports washing, dear. That's so fucking typical of Jim Campbell, isn't it?
I'm moving it on for football reasons.
Well, we really have nothing to say about the other stuff, do we? And it's a difficult situation for anyone that loves Newcastle United. But I think in the match itself, I don't think Newcastle really deserved that Leeds. It was kind of a Leeds in microcosm, really. They only really concede scrappy goals, and Newcastle seem to only score scrappy goals at the moment. So look, it's so important to be picking up points like that. They need to turn those draws into wins, and they've got I think Everton in the next match. Yeah. So I'm just hoping that there's still going to be a club in disarray and
that
we
is going to be like
more.
Cirque du Soleil. It's going to be brilliant.
The next five fixtures for Newcastle then, Pete, is, as you say, Everton home, Villa at home as well, then West Ham away, Brentford away, and Brighton at home. It's on, is it?
You've got to be hoping that you pick up points against Everton, Brentford, Brighton probably as well. The other two, Aston Villa are in their ascendancy, and West Ham are a solid, solid side who can score goals. I'm hoping they do that. And a lot's been said about how difficult it is to be a Newcastle fan. At this very moment in time, we've got a competent manager, we've got a striker who really likes his right foot. He's awful at the first two matches with Newcastle Woods. Good God, he's turgid. But hopefully he'll come good at some point. At this point in time, there's nothing that has been done to Newcastle United that couldn't have been done under Mike Ashley financially. Let's make that very clear. A competent manager, a good right back, and someone who's big and imposing in the box. So at this moment, my conscience is clear. All right, when we start buying your big footballers, then I can sort of go, gross.
Is that true, though? Because Chris Wood, it seems as though Chris Wood, they paid over the odds for him.
Yeah, the release clause.
And the whole point
that's
is
true,
that,
actually,
Burnley,
yeah,
that they've stripped Burnley.
All right, kid. Can't have
player.
Anything nice. Yeah. All right, can't have anything
you're
nice.
You're having
fine.
Loads of nice things, actually.
Hey, I mean, you enjoy pessimism. So
yes.
In a way, if Newcastle do get relegated this year,
yeah,
won't next season, when you are like... you know, essentially a billionaire toy
right.
in the championship. Yeah. We've never seen that before. That might be quite fun, right? You might just ride roughshod all over it.
Well,
just
the championship...
plunder all your rivals like you're doing now, just tearing it to pieces.
That's what they did last time. That's what your parachute payments are for.
Not on this
really
scale, though.
No, it's really
it'd be,
on
it'd be unreal.
Well, the championship is a nightmare.
Like Luis Suarez up front because you offer him so much money. Like it could be amazing.
Yeah, we'll all look forward to that. I mean, the thing is, the one thing that they are doing, Pete, that has seemed to help morale that they couldn't do under Mike Ashley is they took those signs down, Sports Direct signs.
They did,
and apparently,
yeah.
Ashley is now suing Amanda Staveley for breaching terms of a £10 million loan he made her to help facilitate the sale of the club because he agreed, or I'm not sure if it's strictly speaking because, but one of the elements there is that they agreed to keep up the Sports Direct signs until the end of the season.
I thought it was like that you couldn't criticise the club or something. You couldn't criticise Mike Ashley's performance as director of the club. I think that was part of it as well. So that's apparently the point that apparently Staveley's said something.
Does that endear
the last guy.
You to her, though? Or her to you, rather? Given that it's like, this might cost me £10 million, but sod it. Get it down. Get them down.
They're all weird robots, aren't they? Weird.
Yeah.
Money robots.
Strange. Absolutely. Mm.
Speaking of people are moving out of the relegation zone, unbelievably, inexplicably, implausibly, Norwich beat Watford 3-0.
Unbelievable.
To switch round. To switch round relegation places.
I mean, they were fantastic.
Shit.
They really are, aren't they? Yeah. They started off being a bit of a kind of unpredictable basket case. It's like, oh, are they going to be terrible? Are they going to win quite convincingly? They have just slipped into terrible now, haven't they?
Yeah.
But the goal from Josh Sargent, unbelievable. I can't even say his name. I'm so giddy at the
just call him producer Finn.
Yeah, it was what a finish. But for both that first goal and his second goal, the joy on his face was like Francis Bourgeois pure. Like it was just like it was just so lovely, just so great. He's had a tough time. Like he missed a remember that open goal where he didn't even get near hitting it. I don't think the ball even like went out of play. It was such a bad effort on goal, and he's been a bit of a lightning rod. And it was a fantastic, fantastic goal, the first one, and then to get a second one. I do think Pookie's 100% fouled the defender in the build-up to the first one. I don't know quite how he's got away with that. But...
yeah, I'm really surprised that goal stood.
But the goal was good enough that I think it's fine. Do you know what I mean? Like, I know we've got to have rules and blah, 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 blah. Yeah, but
yeah,
on an purely aesthetic perspective, I'm fine with that.
I can't believe that he was able to sort of bend his body into that position as well as propelling something forward.
Brilliant.
Oh, what a guy. People were chanting USA, USA, USA. Now, look, I'm happy for the lad. And he's, 21? And he's scoring exciting goals. But I'm not sure I approve of that.
No? Why
no.
Is that?
Well, because it's another thing, isn't it? It's a different vibe.
It's a different vibe.
Like, yeah.
It's Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Yeah. I mean,
with his 2x4.
But they're not chanting stop the steal or drain the swamp. Like it's what are you projecting onto it?
No, I'm really not. No, I'm not. American listeners, all of whom I love. I don't know. That's just got a real American sports vibe to it for me.
Yeah,
clearly.
I think that ship sailed ages ago. Surely everyone eats hot dogs and all kinds of business.
We're on about Norwich, who were great, and unfortunately, probably Claudio Ranieri will be sacked imminently from his job at Watford.
Yeah.
He has he's achieved 10 defeats in 13 league games, no clean sheets. Do you remember when he first came in? Was it Liverpool their first game? I mean, that's tough. That's not easy for anybody. And he was like, he did his whole charming Claudio Ranieri thing of being like, oh, I'll get them a free meal, a free dinner if we can keep a shutout. And then they lost 5-0.
Yeah.
No free dinner. But they're probably terribly malnourished. They've not had dinner. Don't Watford sort of managers, they work like space shuttles. They design the new one while the one is on the last one is on the launch pad. They've got to work 3 managers in advance. So they should really have someone in place right now to sort of pop in. But good God, what a job that is, the Watford job. You automatically get like £3 million within a month or 2 months. It's incredible.
It's like a really lucrative temp job, isn't it? It's brilliant.
Yes.
It's essentially more of a consultant. Do you know what I mean? Like a temporary consultant than an actual manager.
Yeah,
completely. I mean, from a Norwich perspective, it's probably been, obviously it's been a very difficult season for them, and this show has probably been a very difficult listen if you are a Norwich City fan. But after the Everton game, the narrative was all about, oh God, Everton have slipped up. They've lost to Norwich. That is so bad. That must have been really frustrating, possibly quite galvanising. And they have done, like they have used that platform in the best way they possibly could with a really, really convincing win here in what is effectively a 6-pointer. So the great escape could be on if they can keep that up.
Yeah,
I mean,
let's not forget, we should probably remember that they've got, in terms of the league table, they've played 22 and other people around them have not played as many.
So they've got
many.
To keep this going,
so
haven't they?
So they have got to keep it. But as we've said many times, you'd rather have the points on the board than hopes in the future of possible points on the board. Enjoyable that the floodlights went out, I thought.
Yep.
Yeah.
Not so much that it really affected the game in any way, but
because they played with
they played on, didn't they?
After, but there was 15 minutes of injury time at the end. Oh, you love that.
Lovely. There's an astonishing email coming up about that particular power cut. So stay tuned for that.
Wow. Good teaser. Keep lining them up. Disappointed to see Moussa Sissoko's amazing volley disallowed, by the way, because he cannot find the net.
I know. It's going to take him years to get another on target. That's such a shame, isn't it?
Oh, dearie me. In other kind of technical issue news, Brentford's 2-1 defeat to Wolves was delayed by 20 minutes, because of an unauthorised drone hovering over the stadium.
Yeah, that was weird.
Pete,
yeah, nothing to do with me.
Looking at you, or what?
I was in my house in Essex. But like, I mean, the, around the ground, there's like the balconies, like all over, like there's big sort of towering kind of housing developments, and there's a lot of balconies, and you just sort of think, presumably, the guy, it would be a guy, on the would just be stood on the balcony directing his little drone around the place. But yeah, weird.
Yeah, only if he's an idiot, which he probably is.
Probably,
but
is.
Like he doesn't want to be caught, does he?
So, yeah.
You're saying that there's a lot of suspects in this.
I'm just saying it could be anyone in that building, to be quite frank. I think I'd very much like to see the footage. The footage must be posted online. If you're going to go down for you know, influencing a football match with the drone, you may as well release the footage, because you know you're going to get caught eventually.
Mm. Mm. Is it an illegal stream, maybe? Like a drone stream, maybe, like a new one. Watch the games from above.
I like that angle as well. Yeah. Thomas Frank was given a red after the game. Apparently, he had a confrontation with a Wolves player.
Very Mardy lately, isn't he?
He is. We need, let's keep a watch on that. But enjoyably, he said he got a yellow, and then he apparently said, "You can give me the second one as well." So he did. Sure.
Love it.
Why not? Front up to your problems. Everton lost. Should we go to a break? No. Villa should probably get some credit here. 1-0 the win. That was the early kickoff on Saturday. Duncan Ferguson's rousing speeches. Look, he's not going to be able to solve this problem, right?
No.
He went around some pubs in the morning of the game.
He
put some money behind the bar for like beleaguered Everton fans.
Yeah, so they could have their first pint on him, which is a nice little thing to do, isn't it?
That is actually really nice.
Yeah.
I think he's wasting his money, because he gets the manager money for like 1 month a year, and he needs to sort of conserve that. Like he can't just be doing, because he knows he's not going to have that manager money for the next few months. He needs to conserve that amount of money in his bank account. Unbelievable. But apparently Fabio Cannavaro's been interviewed. That would be a touch, wouldn't it? Everton absolutely hating Rafa Benitez, an actual manager, and Fabio Cannavaro, I mean, he's just managing China, really, hasn't he?
Well, maybe that's how they like to recruit. I mean, same story with Benitez, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
He did have some other bits in his CV. Carry on.
Did you hear Tyrone Mings after the game?
Oh,
in reference to Matty Cash and Luca Dean being hit with the bottles.
Behaving well before we do the bit where we laugh at them. Very bad. Very, very bad.
There seems to be a space.
Please
a bit
don't
recently.
Fucking it's, throw things onto yeah. football pitches. It's really bad, because also if you're high up, I know you don't necessarily agree with this, Jim, but if the momentum of the thing, even if it's quite a small object.
Well, we were talking about this earlier, weren't we? Pete, what do you think about this? I'm probably opening myself up to ridicule here, but I don't know if a person could knock me over with a bottle.
Oh, someone's so hard today.
You know what I mean? No, but I don't mean that. Look, if they punched me while holding the bottle, obviously. But you know, like,
right. Momentum is a thing, and the weight of some. I don't. So we need
a plastic bottle.
We need
full of liquid.
Also, it's a bit full. Yeah, full of liquid. Correct.
Yeah. What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, it would
We'll do a video special of trying this at some point.
Well, exactly. We'll throw them off the top of Football Ramble HQ. Obviously, that's what we usually do. But yeah, it's not great, is it? I mean, it's not great to see. You shouldn't be doing that kind of thing. I mean, we had in the Chelsea match, I think, people throwing lighters and a bottle opener.
Yeah,
I
it's happened it was at actually Arsenal a Chelsea brand.
It's a bit like, it's not as extreme as this, but isn't it like, you know, if you drop a. Okay, this is not exactly the example. Please,
dropping
someone
a penny
write
off
in.
The Eiffel Tower. Is
yes,
that what you're going to say? No, it's not like that, is it?
It is like that.
The principle is the same, but the effect is going to be completely different.
Oh,
isn't it?
Because it's small, so it can knock me over. Bullets are small.
But if you throw a bullet at someone, it's not as effective.
I presume terminal velocity is involved. I don't remember my physics lessons that much, but surely after a certain period of time, it stops accelerating. Yeah. So
is like if someone's throwing it at you, then they can only do that from a certain distance, right? So I'm just saying, I don't know if you could knock me over with a bottle.
Either way, we're not convinced that, look, bottles are being thrown, multiple bottles. In the clips we've seen, it does look a bit mad that Luca Dina falls over as though he's... Yeah,
But we haven't seen every angle,
it's
and
possible...
it's like it's really childish that people keep doing this as well.
Yes, it is possible that he was really hurt, but it does look quite funny on the clip.
Yeah, it's a weird afternoon for him. Really, really weird afternoon.
I was surprised they booed him, to be honest.
Yeah, and it's
Everton
all been
fans
a bit
I mean,
unseemly,
obviously.
Isn't it? But again, you know, it only takes a few, doesn't it, to sound worse than it is. But Tyrone Mings after the game, when he was talking about the throwing of the bottle incident, said it's about all they've got, isn't it? Big words from Tyrone.
Oh, yes, yeah. Please.
Or did they mean, does he mean they've got a bottle?
No, he means that, like, it essentially means Everton are a bit shit and the fans haven't got anything to
I was trying to give
it
a more generous interpretation. But, yeah, no, I think you're definitely right. Good win for Aston Villa, although, as we, you know, you can only play what's in front of you.
Yeah.
Time for a break.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Clash of the Titles is the podcast where two movies with something in common go head-to-head in a fight to the death as we decide which film does it better. And for the whole of January and February, we're taking film suggestions from you, our listeners.
But he said to me, I was putting on, and because we've done the social network, and he's like, why are you doing all these good films? And I said, oh, well, you know. And then I had to admit that other people pick them, not us.
Wow.
Yeah.
Join me, Alex Zane, with Chris Tilley and Vicky Crompton every Monday and Thursday. Search Clash of the Titles wherever you get your pods.
Well, I'm talking about the sort of luxuriant quality.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble on Monday. It's time for a recap of our Betway 4 to Score from Friday. Entry to 4 to Score is free each week. Pick the first goal scorer in Betway's 4 selected matches for your chance to win the weekly £50,000 jackpot. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game. Further T's and C's apply. So we did all this. Game 1, Southampton versus Manchester City. That was the Saturday 5:30 kickoff. Marcus picked Gabriel Jesus after complaining that it was very difficult to pick anybody. It would have been difficult to pick Kyle Walker-Peters because it was his first goal in the Premier League and very lovely to see. That was, we're going to come on to it. Game 2, Leicester versus Brighton. Sunday, 2 o'clock, when Vish picked Patson Daka, I thought he sounded a bit smug the way he picked it so confidently, yeah. But I'm wrong.
Rightly,
he was right.
Rightly so.
Bloody yep. Hell, Patson Daka was the first goal scorer in that. Yeah, applause is right. Game 3, Crystal Palace versus Liverpool, Sunday 2 o'clock. Andy, again, not overthinking things. He went for Diogo Jota. The result was Virgil van Dijk. And in
lovely
game
header.
4, Chelsea. Lovely header. In Chelsea versus Spurs. That was the 4:30 kickoff on Sunday. Luke picked Mason Mount. I feel like he always does. The result was Hakim Ziyech. Here comes some emails. They're reading out your emails. Yeah, 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 yeah. They're reading out your emails. Because they were sent in to show at football round.
about Sven. Stuff about Sven, yeah.
All right, we've got an email from Sam Vale. Thank you, Sam. On Friday's show, you mentioned the snake at Inter Miami's training ground. It has come to my attention that former Stoke City man Breck Shea caught the snake. My question is... is this conclusive evidence needed to prove that if you can do it on a cold Thursday in Stoke, you can do anything in the world? Caught a snake. Amazing.
Yeah.
It's really creepy the way he caught it, I thought.
Yeah? How so?
Well, he was sort of trying to outwit it, but it's like snapping about his heels. What if he... You know, snakes are quicker than humans, are they?
Probably not. I don't know. In a foot race... Well, obviously, it can't have a foot race, can it? So, yeah, got him on a technicality there. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, to be honest, I thought he would use an implement.
I think he just used his hand.
That's amazing. That's even more impressive.
Yeah, it's true. Maybe the training at Stoke is more varied than we thought.
Maybe. So Jake's been in touch as well, and he says, please, for the love of God, tell me somebody saw the Match of the Day footage of Reverend Mike Dean trying to insert his microphone back into his ear after removing it during the partial blackout at Vicarage Road. A bit too dry to slide straight in, and without hesitation, Mike inserts the device into his mouth, gives it a quick lube up, and slips it coolly back into his ear. This may be a completely normal thing to do for referees or ear pierce wearers, not that in my 30 years of wearing earphones I have ever needed to or even thought about it. However, watching Dino do it and stare straight at the TV cameras whilst doing so and seemingly directly into my soul will be a moment that haunts me for the rest of the week.
The rest of the week? I thought it was going to go bigger with that. Yeah, I thought that was...
So it's just a mild haunting, but it is a haunting nonetheless.
Tempered. Yeah.
What do you guys make of that? So the thing that creeps me out is like...
Don't do it, please, is what I make of that.
So wearing... I think, to be fair to Mike Dean, initially... I think it's different to the earphones that you're likely to wear for, you know, like AirPods or whatever that don't go fully into your ear because they tend to be moulded, I think. Same as like telly ones.
Right. Not moulded well enough, it seems.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh.
Would you not lick your finger and then rub it with it?
I wouldn't do. Oh, God.
Is that not more? Is that not better?
I suspect there's earwax in there.
Yeah. The thing is, we all know what earwax... Nobody wants to talk about it. But the elephant in the room is that we all know what earwax tastes like. And that's what...
I don't actually.
No, Pete, I don't think...
You don't know what your earwax tastes like. What's wrong with you two? You've never inadvertently scratched the inside of your ear and then found your finger in your hand, in your mouth, rather.
No.
Never.
No.
Look.
I'm very deliberate
with when I put my
hand in my mouth.
Do it on the podcast right now. Let's have the taste test. Do it on the podcast right now.
Get
those little digits in the ears and let's get this tested, guys. Come on.
Sadly, I've got headphones on and I can't reach through those. But I also...
Sadly, I don't want to.
I don't
play along at home, though. He's doing it. It's right in there. And how is that?
It's brackish at best.
Brackish.
What's it? Come on, be serious. Now you've tested that. What does it taste like?
It tastes like earwax. Earwax is a very specific,
oily, sweet,
bitter,
savoury,
umami.
I just don't believe, and I don't think anyone at home, well, wherever they might be listening to this podcast, believe that neither of you know what earwax tastes like. I'm sorry,
but we've spent our lives probably avoiding eating earwax.
So lick each other's ears.
Of all the secretions that your body makes,
how
familiar are you with all of them?
I've tried them all. Apart from the bad, the worst one.
Right.
And I'll leave that up to you to see what that is.
To what that one is.
Exactly.
I don't
really
know how to get out of this particular corner.
Yeah.
Lick each other's ears. Look, that's the only way we're going to get out of it.
I think that I'm just going to move it on and try and pretend that never happened. You guys need to get your questions in for Pep Talks on Wednesday, please. Show at footballramble.com or tweet us at footballramble. Not about the earwax thing.
Not about the earwax.
Yeah, well, that's inevitable now, though, isn't it?
So if you email in, even if like one person emails in and is like, oh, yes, I've snacked on my earwax, Pete's going to think that's proof that every fucker in the world eats earwax for breakfast.
Yeah.
Correct.
I bet Pep Guardiola eats his own earwax.
Oh, he doesn't have
earwax. Southampton 1, Manchester City 1. He doesn't have earwax.
Yeah, it's good. That's for other managers. He's a cut above. He doesn't have earwax. He doesn't emit anything.
Too busy.
Yeah.
I bet he gets it. Is it syringed out where they do the thing with the with the candle? this is disrespectful to Southampton's battling draw with Manchester City.
They were fantastic.
Beautiful goal. What, like, it, such an instinctual kind of like, this is the only way I'm going to get this in. And yeah, it was so good, so early in the match. And I think you were saying, Jim, a few weeks ago, like, you wonder whether if someone gets a goal early against Man City, what happens to them? And we saw that they found it very difficult to
get. They don't like it, do they?
They don't like it, no.
So Southampton are one of four teams who've managed to stop City winning this season. They did it at the Etihad, as in they were before this game, they did it at the Etihad too.
Yeah.
I can't, can you make any sense of that, Jim? Like, why is it Southampton are the guy, are their nemesis, are their kryptonite?
Yeah, it's a funny one, isn't it? Because obviously Pep Guardiola fell in love with Nathan Redmond that time as well. There's a bit of a strange relationship beautiful. Between the two of them. I don't know. I think maybe just Hasenhüttl can get them up for the fight. In a way that
he was
that,
so pumped at the end, wasn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, he really was.
Really,
and it seemed like he said he was exhausted from having watched it. Yeah. But I think the thing is, it's if you say, even a team like Southampton who are going to, you know, comfortably probably finish around mid-table this season, if you're playing against Man City, you're trying not to lose, right? Even a team that good, even if you're a mid-table team, and if you accept that you are just trying to get absolutely anything out of the game and commit to that fully, maybe that's what you have to do. What? Just try and blunt them rather than beat them.
Is
almost.
That what you feel like they were doing? Because I felt like they were, certainly for the first, I don't know, 40 or so minutes, I felt like they were on the attack.
Yeah, but at some point, you know, City's dominance started to show, didn't it?
Could have had
the
second Ambrosia goal as well.
Yeah, God, it was a shame.
Disallowed.
But they, I think, you can't do that against them for 90 minutes. If you try to do that, they'll just pick you off and you'll just get battered.
No, that's true.
That and I think they managed the game really well. Perhaps
that was
the
14th goal that Man City have conceded this season.
Amazing. It was a real shame for Southampton because they had so many players following the ball and no players kind of marking up, and Laporte was just kind of at the back post and just went, I'll have that, please. I'll munch on that. It was a real shame because I thought they could have held out, I think, the way that Man City were finding it difficult. And there were a lot of chances, obviously, but Southampton, I thought, played really, really well.
Yeah. Ralph Hasenhüttl says that Jack Grealish waited in the tunnel for Oriol Romeo after a foul on Grealish during the game.
Oriol Romeo is hard. He could probably knock me over the plastic
bottle. I think that is surprising, isn't it? Although I guess Grealish fancies himself in a fight, doesn't he?
Maybe. But
he's
I
got that.
Know.
Speaking of aesthetics,
aesthetic. He's a bulky lad, isn't he, Grealish? So he probably...
Calves only.
Do you think? I don't know. He's probably... like, the calves are so big, it might disguise the fact that the rest of him is also quite big.
Fine.
Yeah. But... I mean, Grealish played really well, actually. He's starting to get a bit of criticism, isn't he? Well, the criticism has been there for a while about how he's not really set the world alight. And, you know, in terms of certainly goals, that's been the case. But he played well. And clearly, you know, he cares a lot. He's getting this wound up. I think we might see a bit more from Jackie down the line soon. I think he's ready.
I don't think he'd like
to...
you to call him Jackie.
No?
He might wait for you in the tunnel.
He might do, yeah.
Pep Guardiola called it his side's best performance of the season by far, Pete. Is that your reading of it?
The man's a sadist. Let's make that very clear. He's a strange man and he enjoys being hurt emotionally because football is his best friend. And when football turns on him, he takes it very personally. But he's slightly... he's clearly really into the pain.
Yeah, he's like a method actor, isn't he? But he just isn't an actor.
Yeah, he's just happy that football's just trying something on him after all these years. Oh, really? Oh, Southampton scoring early. Okay,
oh,
right.
Yeah.
Oh,
right.
Yeah. This is the best game I've ever been in. Brilliant.
Yeah, what do you think of that? Yeah, well, you didn't expect me to say that, did you?
So we've got a title race then, everybody.
Oh, he said another mad thing. Which was when it put to him, it's like, oh, might we have a title race on now? He's like, I don't understand why, you know, when we win, people say there isn't a title race, and when we drop points, people say there is. It's like, well, it's because you're not as far in front, Pep. It's
you're almost explaining exactly why that's happening.
Yeah.
Which is helpful of you, I guess. Yeah, the reason for that is obviously they've dropped points there and Liverpool won 3-1 against Crystal Palace. Jürgen Klopp, this is a bit of a beer theme this weekend, feels like, but he handed out a couple of bottles of Peroni to fans as he got on the coach after the game. I don't know where's he picked those up from?
Yeah,
Has he brought them from his, you know how that whole thing of Mourinho settling down, or like Sir Alex sitting down with a lovely bottle of red wine with the opposition manager to really in a kind of pillow-esque way to just sit elegantly and set things to right.
I don't know, maybe he's got like a bullet belt full of beers on him at all times.
Yes!
Just in case he sees fans.
Shot girl, Jürgen Klopp.
Yeah.
I'd love to see that.
Yeah. Another beautiful thing that the pandemic has probably put paid to forever. People having shots of vodka poured into their mouths on the dog. Yeah. By buxom women.
Again, have you been to Newcastle?
Only professionally. On we go to Chelsea beating Spurs 2-0.
Yeah.
Well done, Chelsea. They have beaten Spurs very
a
often.
A lot lately.
Recently.
It's annoying, isn't it?
Before this game, I thought, I said that I was quite interested to get a sense of where Tottenham are from playing Chelsea again. And I, like Pep Guardiola, am something of a sadist. But I actually enjoyed the first half, and I thought we were pretty sharp in the first half.
Yeah.
Picking up, running onto balls, picking them up, creating things. Jim's making that face he makes where he's about to disagree and also question my sanity in a slightly offensive way.
No, actually, I wasn't doing that. My brow is just furrowed like that all the time now.
It was that other face,
No, I was just thinking about the disallowed goal and how, despite seemingly every pundit seeming to think it was the correct decision, I think it's really harsh. Most pundits seemed to say that's the correct decision, or at least be sympathetic towards the decision. Like Duane Genius was surprisingly kind of light on it. I think obviously he certainly pushed Thiago a little bit, almost to steady himself, and Thiago's momentum
doing,
has
he?
Taken
Which
him
is
away.
Stupid, I guess.
But like I think it's harsh.
Thanks. I think you're right. But what the fuck is my opinion?
Yeah, you say thanks. That makes it funnier to me. But still.
Again, though, with the Pep Guardiola said a sort of thing, style of thing, but Conte said he liked what he saw and that the defeat told him a lot. Yeah.
Maybe he was reminiscing about his Chelsea days.
Oh, I remember. Yeah, maybe it told me a lot about my decision making. I mean,
I think that's not totally stupid.
No, look, if you have to get the message losing 2-0 at Chelsea that you've got so many fullbacks, you need an extra team just for fullbacks, fine. But you're right, though. I think they played really well first half and they looked busy and they looked like they had a game plan. But second half, the quality just told a little bit.
Yeah, I think identifying areas that we need to improve is a useful process. It is unfortunately the 24th of January, so
yeah, it's not ideal.
This window is a weird one, though, isn't it? A lot of fans are starting to froth about their clubs not getting business done, but you know, with COVID and the loan market being really, really unpredictable, teams perhaps been a little bit conservative with who they're letting go. It's a really, really difficult one. So it's going to be a bit of a. I'm sure there'll always be a trolley dash on deadline day, but I'm not surprised that it's been a bit quiet this time. Can we talk about the Ziyech goal? Because it was something special, wasn't it? I mean, he would normally be at AFCON, but he had a bit of a falling out with the coach. He left him behind. So that is hugely to Chelsea's benefit there. And what a beautiful finish it was. And he was confident as well, wasn't he? He tried it again immediately after similar. Absolutely. Absolutely. Almost never comes off, but you know, it's worth it.
What an effort, yeah. Yeah, he is a great player, we're told constantly, and we see the evidence.
Yeah. I've seen people say he's been a bit of a flop at Chelsea, and I know, actually, if you look at his numbers, they're not amazing, but I feel like whenever I've seen him play, he's always been eye-catching and effective.
Yeah, I don't know people are hoping for.
Speaking of proposed Chelsea flops, did you see this morning's Lukaku sausage news?
Didn't
see this coming on a Monday. We all got emails from some kind of PR company.
How do they get our emails?
I don't know, but they. But apparently, Romelu
Lukaku.
I didn't
actually get this one.
He's co-created some kind of sausage meal with a Beyond Meat style company. I'm not really sure what company it is, but his quotes are really, really funny. Romelu said, "It's no secret that Brits love a banger, and it's becoming one of my favourite dishes too since being in the UK. I really enjoy cooking for the people I love, and the Beyond sausage never disappoints." I realise I'm doing the PR's job here, but it just makes me laugh that Lukaku has never said that a plant-based protein sausage is the perfect winter warmer and works brilliantly in hearty and wholesome dishes. So such as bangers and mash, toad in the hall, or you can chop it up and put it on a pizza. Bullshit.
Yeah, there's simply no way he said those words.
Give me the recording, not a deep fake recording. Give me the recording, Ronald Lukaku saying those bloody words. Bullshit.
I also love the idea that he is like curated this, that he's come up with this meal himself, and it's so. What you do is you get some sausages and some mash, and that's it. That's the meal.
Did you see
come out of my brain? That did.
I was hoping that Romelu Lukaku was about to be revealed as the secret saviour of that dog that got stuck on marshland. Did you see this?
What? No. I'm normally quite good on dog news. I missed this one.
I thought you'd be telling me this. He was stuck on, you know, like he would have sunk, what's it called, like mud flats.
Yeah.
This dog. So someone had the bright idea of attaching a sausage to a drone.
Nice.
So, what, to sort of trick the dog into running off?
Not to trick, but I guess they couldn't themselves. They were too heavy to walk on the mud flat because they would have just sunk. So they got the dog to follow the sausage.
Brilliant.
Brilliant. But it wasn't Romelu Lukaku, so the link, the link is... Anyway.
Maybe that's what the Brentford drone was all about. They were trying to lure their players into the box with sausages.
It's Newcastle, wasn't it? Trying to sign players. It probably had a contract on it that fell off. Like, get that over to Ivan Toney.
We've changed.
Tonight, AFCON, Nigeria have crashed out to Tunisia 1-0 after being... Weren't you backing them? Weren't you all about
I was.
Them?
Well, they won all their group games. They were the only team to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they looked really, really strong. And then they just had a little bit of a shocker. Tunisia had 12 players missing in total, 11 from COVID, one from suspension. I think the manager missed the game as well. And they still managed to pull it off. It's huge. Alex Iwobi got sent off, but they were losing at that point anyway. Really, really big shock. And there's a mad penalty shootout in the other game as well. It has woken up.
Burkina Faso, you're on about?
Mm-hmm.
Going through. What's the capital of Burkina Faso?
Is it Ouagadougou?
Yeah, nice.
It's a great combination of words.
Absolutely,
all around.
Brilliant. Yeah, it's fascinating also to see this thing, this separate event that happens whenever people get knocked out. Now people are getting knocked out of AFCON and people who support teams that have got the players in them. I was with some Rangers fans last night and they were just so happy that Joe Aribo is coming back into their side. And he's a great player. But yeah, bad luck Nigeria more generally. Yeah, Burkina Faso beat Gabon 7-6 on penalties. Herve Koffi, their goalkeeper, Burkina Faso's goalkeeper, celebrated when their last penalty went in. With an incredible string of somersaults, so worth a look at that.
It was incredible. It was like seven somersaults, and he looked quite lonely after that because he'd somersaulted so far, and nobody wanted to get close to him because it was like the rotating blades of a helicopter. And so he looked so kind of lonely by himself when everyone was celebrating in one huddle. He was like by himself.
That must be annoying. You've just done something really impressive and amazing, and just no one seems fussed.
No,
oh, I've overdone it here.
You can't upstage that. You're through to the next round, for crying out loud.
15 yellow cards in that one, an all-time AFCON record, as well as the sending off. Ah, you can't beat that. Sad news, I'm afraid, everybody. We big this one up quite heavily for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
I.e. Comoros are great and our new everyone's new second team. They're going to be facing the hosts. Another good thing, you'd say. Nice to be up against the hosts, have a big crowd in, even if hostile. They're going to be facing them without a goalkeeper in the last 16 because they've got 12 COVID cases in the squads and that includes all of their keepers. So they're going to have an outfield player in goal, which we like as a concept and we were hoping to see that happen, perhaps, as part of the amusing roller coaster of football that we sit back from. But we definitely weren't hoping to see that from Comoros.
Yeah, we weren't quite hoping it was happening, weren't we? We were saying that if it does happen
to
someone...
We're not asking for COVID to rip through people's squads.
You're definitely going to watch that to see what happens. It's just a shame that Comoros, of all the teams... The such a tiny nation who've done so well to qualify are the ones who are going to be faced with this nightmare scenario. Yeah. So I mean, it's going to be a fascinating game to see how Cameroon approach it. We shoot from distance in the early on just to test the goalkeeper. Surely you will. Like it'll be really, really interesting psychologically.
Yeah,
but if they win it, imagine dare to
narrative,
dream,
man. Like
they're not going to win
football
it.
Football is driven by narrative. That's all we've got. We haven't got... There's no love in the upper echelons of the game, and I just think this is just narrative. They might do it. This is like proper good stuff.
Yeah.
Well, find out if they can.
Guinea Gambia as well this afternoon. Fantastic. What a day of football.
7 p.m. Is the Comoros game. The tournament rules dictate at AFCON that teams need just 11 players to go ahead and no recognised goalkeeper. Hence, this game is happening on the BBC. Enjoy it, yeah. I guess. Look, yeah. We're on to... Oh, no, you guys are not. It's me, Luke and Vish on tomorrow's show. I think we're going to give it a full half.
Yep.
And I think, frankly, that's the least we can do for bloody Comoros, who are incredible. Nice to see you, chaps. Have a nice rest of the day, Jim.
Yes, you too.
Look after yourself, Pete.
Ta-ta.
Thanks for listening to The Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. We'll see you tomorrow.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.